Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation, the Friday, February 27th, 2015 edition. Eric Holder, as you well know, is the most, I would say, controversial attorney general in history, but that would be too mild. So we'll leave it at that. We'll say the most controversial attorney general in history. Now, he was thrown out of office, and he's retiring. He's leaving. They're going to replace him with someone worse than him. Someone who has the same black radical agenda, the same anti-white agenda, the same hatred for America agenda that we've lived with now for years. Now you say, hey, slow down. Slow down. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by statements like that? Well, in his parting shot, Eric Holder, the most controversial attorney general in American history, who said that it's too hard to bring civil rights cases, they need to change the law to make it easier to basically arrest white policemen. He was unhappy that the federal government couldn't crack down on cops who did nothing wrong. So in order to complete the communist revolution, you have to disarm the police. If you can't disarm them in actuality, you disarm them in the courts. You make them hesitate. You teach them to breathe deeply in a confrontation so the criminal gets the upper hand. But it's worse than that. When he was asked by the stooges at Politico, which is an arm of the Democrat socialist Islamist machine, this is what he had to say about Malcolm X in clip number one.
I say this not to every African American of his age, but for every American, that you read the autobiography of Malcolm X to see the transition that man went through from petty criminal to a person who was severely and negatively afflicted by race to somebody who ultimately saw the humanity in all of us. And that would be a book I would recommend to everybody.
So Mr. Who obviously was way, 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 way below this pay scale, never qualified to be attorney general. This guy shouldn't be writing traffic tickets, but he was the top law enforcement official in America and still is. And his parting shot is recommending that everybody read the autobiography of Malcolm X. So who is Malcolm X? Why should anyone read Malcolm X? Well, first of all, let's start with who he was. Let's forget his criminal past, because that's nothing anymore. Most of the people who work for Obama have a criminal past. Look at Al Sharpton. He has a criminal past, doesn't he? He's in the White House right now, probably dining on some very superior meal. That's fine. That's what happens after a revolution. But Malcolm X was the head of the Nation of Islam. He was a black revolutionary, and he was a Muslim, black Muslim revolutionary. Now, why would the Attorney General of the United States refer to a black Muslim revolutionary as one of the role models for America? I'll let you figure the rest of that one out. So who was Malcolm X, so lauded by Eric Holder? Now, if Eric Holder loved Malcolm X, you can be pretty sure others in the inner circle of the Obama administration also loved the Nation of Islam and still do. In fact, you have to understand that Malcolm X became a Sunni Muslim late in his life. That may explain the lack of a war on terror. That may explain ISIS's blitzkrieg. That may explain why Obama refuses to connect the word Muslim or Islam with violence. Can explain a lot of things if you're willing to think, and I realize that's asking an awful lot out of the American inchworms today. I get that. That's one topic, which is Malcolm X as a role model for this administration. Listen to what Malcolm X said in one of his speeches about race.
No, guys,
hold it. He said it's just like when you've got some coffee that's too black, which means it's too strong. Well, what do? You integrate it with cream. You make it weak. But if you pour too much cream in it, you won't even know you ever had coffee. It used to be hot, it becomes cool. It used to be strong, it becomes weak. It used to wake you up, now it puts you to sleep. So what is he saying? The whites need to be thrown out of America? What did he actually say there? He's saying he's not in favor of integration. He wants separation. So what does that make him? I don't know. Whatever it makes him, it's strange that Eric Holder would nakedly admit that Malcolm X is one of his role models. And in one of his speeches entitled The Ballot or the Bullet, that's an interesting one, because the issue of violence was very large in Malcolm X's rhetoric. He didn't repudiate violence. Did you hear that? He didn't repudiate violence. And he said certain things about whites that I find very interesting that you have to hear. Now, his original name was Malcolm Little. And when he was Malcolm Little, he was involved in robbery, pimping, drug dealing. You know, the usual stuff for that period. However, after converting to Islam in prison, he changed his name to Malcolm X. Now, why did he change his name to Malcolm X? Because he believed that the last name of an African-American should be changed to X because it was a white man's last name. So what was his strategic objective? What is the strategic objective of the Nation of Islam today? What is their long-term goal? Well, I don't think you want to know it. I don't think you want to hear it. I don't think you can take it if you actually heard it. So I'll let that hang in the air. Now let's listen to Malcolm X in his own words.
The charge of violence against us actually stems from the guilt complex that exists in the conscious and subconscious minds of most white people in this country. They know that they've been violent in their brutality against Negroes, and they feel that someday the Negro is going to wake up and try and do unto them as they have done unto the whites, as the whites have done unto us.
And that's the rhetoric of Malcolm X. But it may also be the mindset of Eric Holder and Barack Obama. Is it possible? Sure. Well, if he's a role model of Eric Holder, who was a right-hand man to Barack Obama, I wouldn't think that that's something he would disagree with. Do unto others as they have done unto you. So get even. Don't you see an animus in Obama, a hatred, a vengeance in the man, a vengeance that is unheard of in the office of the presidency towards a large percentage of the population simply based upon their race? Doesn't that yet come clear to you that all of this man's mania for control, takeover of telecommunications, I don't have to go down the list, because everything he has done and everything he's going to do is about control and taking over the government piece by piece, step by step. Now, if you combine that with the dangerous connection to the Nation of Islam, if there is one, and I'm not so sure there is or isn't, I'm only saying that because Eric Holder said everyone should read Malcolm X's autobiography. It set off alarm bells in me. So I looked into Malcolm X. I wasn't that familiar with him. He was quite a revolutionary. He was in solidarity with the people of Cuba, for example. He liked the Cuban Revolution by Fidel Castro. He thought that was a good thing. That's one topic. Here's another one. February 28th, that's tomorrow. February 28th, ISIS warning goes out. International Day of Blood will see blood running in the streets of America. I had forgotten that I read this on my own show a week ago or 2 weeks ago. But a website called All News Pipeline, the author being Stefan Stanford, wrote this today, and it caught me by surprise. I had forgotten it. My show is like a bullet train every day. I can't remember one show to the next sometimes. It's too dense with information. I don't get stuck on Democrat, Republican, okay? It's very hard for me to remember where this train started sometimes. There's too many cars on my train. You know, 300 cars a year connected. It's hard to remember what 100 cars back was saying when it was running down the line. And here's the article, though. It's one paragraph. You have the attention for it? With the Islamic State conducting a blitzkrieg virtually unopposed, Michael Savage warns us of the date of February 28, 2015, in the second video below, where he reads to us an email from a former high-ranking U.S. military insider of what is being called an International Day of Blood, telling us that there will be blood running in the streets and that things are about to get very ugly around the world and here in America. That there was a warning given to Fox News to increase protection recently. We're told it's going to get much more interesting very shortly. They're getting closer and closer to fulfilling their strategic objectives here in America. It's amazing to watch this unfold. Who would believe we would ever be here? I'm afraid this war is not going to end without a massive amount of killing, far more than most Americans would like to believe. Close quote. Finally, the article reads, Savage declares the most important line. The entire enemy strategy, that's ISIS, depends on us accepting them as who they say they are. You hear this? Freedom Fighter reports in All News Pipeline, Savage's warning in the first video, also touching upon the unfolding situation in the Ukraine, where Ukraine is preparing for full-scale war, while in the second video, Savage first mentions this email at the 22-minute mark and goes on for 3 minutes about it, then continues at the 37.50 mark to read the email in detail. I think we have them for later if we get to them. I think they're up on michaelsavage.com, the link. And I want to say at this juncture, I thought very carefully as to whether or not I should read this to you today, because I could be accused of being an alarmist. And I hope I'm an alarmist. I actually hope nothing happens tomorrow. But I would be remiss as the Paul Revere of America to not read this to you. Because just 2 weeks ago, the head of the FBI told us that there are sleeper cells in 49 of the 50 states, which was completely hushed up by Obama, Holder, Kerry, et al. The government hit squads told us not to listen to one word that the FBI said. And by the way, that very same FBI chief was not invited to the so-called conference on extremism, which was attended by Muslims. But the head of the FBI was excluded. You don't see the pattern. I do. It's really clear for anybody to see. So let's hope that I'm just an alarmist. Let's hope this is just rhetoric from ISIS that's not going to unfold. Let's hope that it's just another day at the mall, another day of the ice cream licking, shorts wearing, hula hoop thinking American male. I'll be back. Have a nice minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. There's a lot of, the rumor mill has it that Obama's connection to Islam is much closer than you may think. And, of course, the press corps always says, no, he's a Christian, and he always says, I'm a Christian, and he definitively says, I'm a Christian. Now, it shouldn't really matter, because if he's a Muslim, he should say so, because if he's a Muslim along the lines of the Jordanians fighting ISIS, I'd like to know it. But he always denies that he's a Muslim, which is okay. He's entitled to any religion he wants, or to be an atheist. Sorry. But when Eric Holder says everyone should read Malcolm X's autobiography, you have to pay attention, because he's the chief law enforcement official in the United States of America who is wreaking havoc against white police for years now. Did you write that down? Did you get every word of that, including the commas and the... Eric Holder's been wreaking havoc against white police in America for years now. And his parting shot going out the door with the stooges at Politico is everyone should read Malcolm X's autobiography. Malcolm X was a black Muslim. He was the head of the Nation of Islam, if I'm not mistaken. So what does he say about Islam? What does he say about that? Well, he said some nice things about people, Malcolm X. Some of them are just bland, nice, be nice to everybody. And then some of these things he said were not very nice. And you have to pay attention to those things that he said about Islam. You could research it yourself if you want to waste your time. You can pretty much know that it's filled with rhetoric that is quite angry, number one, and in my opinion, quite racist towards white people. But some of Malcolm X's quotes are worth looking at. It sounds as though he's a peaceful man, but was he really a peaceful man? I think that it depends upon how you define peace. Because he said, I don't think when a man is being criminally treated that some criminal has the right to tell that man what tactics to use to get the criminal off his back. So in other words, if you define the police as criminal, then you can attack the police. So that's the rhetoric of Malcolm X. That's the rhetoric of Eric Holder. That's the mindset of Eric Holder. Is that not what he just did in Ferguson, Missouri? Is that not what he did? He tried to nail the police to a cross and he couldn't do it. And he goes out saying, God, it's too hard to bring civil rights cases. We got to fix that. You know? So you got to pay attention here, very close attention to the to the situation, because things are going to get much, much worse before they get better. I can guarantee you that the Frankenstein in the White House, since he's getting away with virtually everything he wants without opposition, I've warned you this for years, and that's why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. I mean, I think he's trying to push us into an insurrection. I warn you against that. Do not fall into the trap. Don't be one of those lunatics who goes off and does something violent. Do not fall into the trap. I'm warning you. This is what these individuals in the administration would like nothing better. They want you to do something so violent that the person in the middle says, you see that? We need the president to protect us from these right-wing crazies. Don't fall for it. I'm warning you. They're pushing you. They want you to act. They want you to react. They're trying every day and every way to do anything they can to have you blow up. Don't do it. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. So we have a very dangerous man in the White House who's out of control. His ego is raging. If you can believe it, he's meeting with the criminal Al Sharpton again today. A man who owes the U.S. government millions of dollars in unpaid taxes. A man who smeared a New York detective by the name of Pagonis with false charges of racism and rape. Got away with it. A man who egged on the mobs outside the Freddy's Fashion Mart with a bullhorn screaming, kill the Jew. This is the man who's in the White House. It's unbelievable that in my lifetime I would see a lowlife like this in such high places. But then again, who says the White House is such a high place? Obama has debased the White House. He's dragged it down to the street level. If he's going to associate with a race hustler like Al Sharpton, what does that tell you? Tell me, what does that tell you about Barack Obama? Has he raised up the image of America and the White House? Or has he brought it down to the gutter? Well, all right, so good. I made the point. Now what? Now let's move on. Nothing to see here. I'll give you all the news, views, and reviews as they emerge right here on the Savage Nation. Remember, this is the Savage Nation. It's Rock and Roll Friday. I'll lighten it up soon, I guarantee it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation, where America still lives. Isn't it interesting that on talk radio, there's a real America that's still here, still broadcasting? It's as though the country has been invaded, taken over by a radical communist government, which it has, in my opinion, because I don't see how a communist government could have done any more damage than this guy and these people have done so far. In other words, this country's armed to the teeth. The only thing that keeps them from turning us into total and absolute serfs is the Second Amendment. You know that and I know that. They're afraid of that. They're afraid of that right now. But the thing is that given that this nation's more armed to the teeth than any nation on earth that has not descended into, let's say, anarchy or civil war, is the reason they haven't gone any farther than they've gone is because the people are armed to the teeth. They don't want a shooting revolution. They've gotten so far without it. They've gotten almost everything they've wanted to achieve without it. They don't need violence, do they? Do they need violence when they have such a slick salesman in the White House? He is the slickest salesman for communism you've ever seen in the world. He could never have gotten away with this if he was Joseph Stalin or any of the other commies, Pol Pot, violence, overt violence. He's a stealth communist. A stealth revolutionary. Stealth. The key word is stealth. You can call him a Murano violent, Murano type. He's doing everything in the cloven way. We've talked about it, the cloven hoofed way, actually, not cloven Pritchard, but I would say the cloven hoofed way, but that would be too much of a joke for the average person. They would say I'm being too sarcastic. This is what's called a silent and slow takeover of America. Everybody I speak with who knows what he's doing sees it that way. Forget what the news media tells you. They're all bought and paid for. It's as simple as that. What, are you going to look to the news media for your truth? You know, I see fools in San Francisco sitting with their San Francisco newspaper, reading it with their finger on it. You know the type? They scroll down, they read every word as though it's the chapter and verse of the Old Testament or the New Testament. This is their whole world. If you present them with facts on global warming, for example, showing that there are many, 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 many legitimate scientists who don't agree with this nonsense, or you show them the facts themselves, they'll say it doesn't matter what you're showing me, who made it up. In other words, my mind is made up, don't confuse me with the facts. So I don't rely upon newspapers to tell me what is real and what is unreal. I use my own knowledge of America and American history and history of the world and my own ability to analyze to come up with my own conclusions. And I feel that as an immigrant son who was reasonably well-read, that's an understatement. How do you define well-read today? Was that they're on Instagram? That's a well-read person? What is a well-read person? That used to be a something of status in America, a well-read person. Today, what does that mean? They laugh at you if you have a library. I went to a used furniture store a few weeks ago, and I'm a man who happens to like furniture. Okay, fine. I'm another time, another age. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. They had hutches for sale. You know what a hutch is? I don't know if they call it. You know, like in the dining room, a glass enclosed cabinet with drawers on the bottom and glass on the top. Well, that used to be a commonplace item in American living rooms, right? Dining rooms. And you'd put your fine china in there or your silverware in the drawers, whatever you were going to display. They can't give them away now. I bought one for $499 that was worth $5,000. It was like brand new. I bought three of them because I can't see such good furniture just sitting around like that. Now, what am I trying to tell you? I asked them, well, why are people selling these things for $499? It's absurd. Such fine wood, such fine glass. Why? He said, because the average person today has nothing to display. They don't want to take up a wall on which they can put a flat screen TV. So you say, well, what's well-read today? The answer is, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I'm just saying, it's just a little side observation in the midst of all this talk about this and that, you know. So on February 17th, 2015, I read the email saying February 28th is the day ISIS plans an International Day of Blood. I didn't say that I know it to be true. I didn't say that I hope it's true. In fact, I said I hope it's just alarmism. But it came from a highly placed individual who used to, just say a highly placed individual who would no longer be able to work in government because he loves America too much. He's too aware of the threat of Islam. He thinks that the government's been penetrated by Sunni Muslims from the Muslim Brotherhood. So he's considered a nut. They consider him a nut because they say that can't be true. After Obama's a good Christian man. Didn't he tell us that? Didn't Jake Tapper tell us that? Therefore, it must be true. Whatever the government media complex tells you must be true. I'm going to play you now this piece from February 17, 2015, and pray to God that it's wrong. Let's hear it. I'm going to read you an email I received last night at midnight. It's going to be a redacted email. There will be no names attached to it. And I'll let you decide whether or not you think there's any veracity to this email. And it goes like this. The spate of attacks targeting critics of Islam is not happenstance. It is part of a concerted plan being pushed forward by the Organization of Islamic Cooperation as part of the culmination of their 10-year program of action. The intended outcome of these attacks being the implementation of Islamic slander laws in the United States and the West in general. The goal being to silence critics of Islam in advance of their ratcheting up the violence across the caliphate. He then writes, "This is going to get ugly." I also think that Walid bin Talal divesting from News Corp should put everyone who works for those newspapers inside the News Corp portfolio on notice that they may be in the strategic targeting sites of our enemy. I hope that Fox is increasing their security as well. The Muslim Brotherhood recently declared jihad again, and their warning set a specific date of February 28th. So buckle up. It's going to get more interesting very shortly. There's more written here which I can't read you, but I'll read you another line or two. He writes this. Al-Sisi and Abdullah are holding the line right now. Al-Sisi is despised by this administration. Abdullah in Saudi Arabia is a tripwire. If he fails or falls, the Israelis will move. The whole thing is a tinderbox. And listening to idiots pontificating on the media makes me sick to my stomach. Those men could be head faked by an anvil, at least when it comes to this enemy called radical Islam. There's more to the email, and I can't read it on the air without divulging my sources. But the fact of the matter is there are many intelligent men out there who know exactly what is going on and why Obama pretends to be immune to any kind of criticism. I'll read a little bit more. They are fulfilling their strategic objectives across the region and have been for years. They're getting closer and closer to fulfilling their strategic objectives here in America. It's amazing to watch this unfold. Who would have believed that we would ever be here? I'm afraid this war isn't going to end without a massive amount of killing. Far more than most in America would like to believe. The absolutely clueless and morally bankrupt pundits discuss this enemy in academic and sophistic terminology, but the reality is very plain to see, and the requisite response is just as plain to see. Now, here's the most important line right now. The entire enemy strategy depends upon our cultural unwillingness to accept them for who they are. I'll repeat that in case you missed it. The entire enemy strategy depends upon our cultural unwillingness to accept them for who they are. Cultural unwillingness to accept them for who they are. So that means even if a man says he's a bloodthirsty Muslim fundamentalist, the white liberal will knee-jerk response say you're a racist for saying so. And in England, the reason they haven't been able to stop this jihadi Jean mass murderer, this is a real shock, isn't it? The same England that bans me, Michael Savage, for something I haven't done, permitted this piece of human, well, this monster, Jihad John, who cuts people's heads off with joy, they permitted him to go in and out of England over the years, knowing who he was, saying he was a person of interest. But then here in America, weren't the Tsarnoff brothers, who were responsible for the Boston Marathon bombing, weren't they people of interest for the DHS, the very same esteemed intelligence agency that is screaming we need them to protect us? Weren't they on the radar of the FBI, the Tsarnoff brothers? How come they weren't dragged off the streets before they set off those bombs in Boston? How come the West is so crippled? The answer is white guilt, political correctness, and the lawyers. The lawyers have crippled the United States of America. It's not that the FBI couldn't have dragged in the Tsarnoff brothers. They were afraid of Eric Holder, the lawyer. They were afraid of Barack Obama, the lawyer, who said you didn't have probable cause, because they hadn't yet killed anybody at the Boston Marathon bombing. So therefore, until there are body bags in this sick nation of ours, you can't arrest anybody. Which is why criminals run freely in America, and why terrorists are now in 50 states of America, waiting and waiting and waiting for the right signal to act. I mean, I know this is heavy-duty stuff. I know you don't want to hear it. I really do that. No, I can feel it in my heart. And I understand that we have a mad president, like Mad King Ludwig, who spends all of his hatred on conservatives, Tea Party members, returning veterans, and spends almost none of it on radical Islam, so far as we can tell. So we don't know what's liable to happen tomorrow. We don't know when the other shoe is about to drop, do we? It's Rock and Roll Friday. You can call the show, 855-400-7282. Unprotected talk. I don't know who you are. I only see the number. So let's start with number three. When I call your number, give us your name, station, topic. Number three, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, my name is Renee Hall. I'm calling from Hagerstown, Maryland, WMAL 1037. Dr. Savage, it's so nice to finally get through to your show. I love you. Thank God for people like you out there telling the truth right now in the sick world we're living in, as you just said. I believe that Barack Obama is a precursor of the Antichrist. I'm not going to give him that much credit to say that I believe he is the Antichrist. But I
know that, listen, here's the thing. I'm not going to negate your belief system, but does it do us any good to make a statement like that when no one even knows what it really means? What is the Antichrist?
Well, I believe that he is definitely Muslim, and they know what the number, who all Christians are familiar with, the number 666, and I believe that he knows what it means to Christians, and I believe that with all of the atrocities that they're carrying out right now, that eventually they are going to be the ones that carry out the deed when, you know, you have to make that decision. Do you...
You're losing me, because according to fundamentalist Christians of a very extreme branch, you believe there's actually an Antichrist.
Absolutely.
Well, why do you believe that?
Because I'm a firm believer in the Bible and what it...
Where in the Bible does it... Did Jesus say there would be an Antichrist who appeared?
In Revelations.
Well, tell us what it says. I mean, you're quoting, so I don't know what Revelation says.
A quote by any means of the exact words of the Bible. But there is...
So you're a fundamentalist believer in the Bible, and you believe that it says that an Antichrist shall appear at some point in America. Is that what you say? Or on the earth, rather.
Right. And but I don't believe that it is him, but I believe that he is the lead stagehand, if you will, to set the stage.
So by your belief system, does he know that? Does he know that that's what he's paving the way for?
I think he's probably aware of what he's doing. I mean, I think that was his whole plot from the beginning for running for president, for getting in the position he's in.
So you're amongst the millions of people who not only despise Obama's policies, you actually think he's evil.
I truly do. And I wish I didn't.
Now let's just follow this, because you're not alone. I mean, I see this on the internet all the time. I know that anyone who says it is considered crazy. And yet so many millions of people believe it. Why is it that you think Barack Obama provokes this sense in so many millions of people?
Because he continually defends Islam. He won't call it for what it is.
You're being overly broad in what you just said. Isn't it Islam that's at war with ISIS right now?
I believe it's all one and the same, but...
Now, wait a minute. Jordan is attacking them because one of their pilots was set alive, afire alive.
Right.
Aren't Jordan and Egypt launching airstrikes against ISIS, but we're kind of doing nothing? We have limp strikes. They have airstrikes. Why is that? See, when you say Muslim, be careful, because it's the Muslims who are actually doing more of the heavy lifting right now against ISIS than it is the Obama military.
Say Islamic extremists.
No, I don't think we have to redefine what we're saying, but remember what I'm saying to you. It was a Muslim pilot who was set alive, afire alive, by the ISIS people. Do you remember that?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. No, so you have to remember that. But remember who Obama is. He wanted to overthrow the government in Egypt and reinsert the Muslim Brotherhood. And so did John McCain. John McCain could be the Antichrist. By your definition, John McCain, the warmonger, could be the Antichrist by your loose definition. Do you know that?
I suppose anything's possible in this world.
And what I'm saying is, be very cautious. I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable, but if you're going to go into the doxies of your belief system, recognize that they're so general that they could apply to many people. John McCain wanted to restore the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. John McCain tried to start a revolution in Ukraine. John McCain wants war with Russia. You could say John McCain is the Antichrist, couldn't you?
I suppose so. But...
All right, well, think about that. Then nobody will be able to say that you're a racist. Because the fact of the matter is, if there is someone acting like the Antichrist, I don't think it comes in any particular flavor. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It's a weird day. I mean, you have to admit, it's a weird show today. I'm living through very weird times right now where I almost feel as though I'm functioning in a sort of suspended animation. Do you get that feeling once in a while? And why am I having these feelings? I'm a very, very earthy man. I'm very down to earth. I'm a feeling man. I'm a very emotional person, but I can also be very rational. My mind is very sharp and rational. But for the last few days, I've been having a spacey feeling, as though I'm living in another, like a parallel universe. It's as though the United States has been taken over by a foreign power and I'm the only one who sees it. I feel as though I'm looking in on the complete and absolute takeover of the U.S. by a foreign government who has nullified the U.S. Constitution and is doing as they will with regard to the laws, making them up as they go, daring you to challenge them along the way. You get that feeling once in a while? Or is that too much of a revelation?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Every American, you read the autobiography of Malcolm X. That would be a book I would recommend to everybody.
So he's leaving, and who are they putting in? Loretta Lynch, a real prize. A real prize. Secret cases in Brooklyn, another secret. What is this about Obama and the people he pick who all everything wants to done in secret, everything in secret? Why do they have to do everything in the dark of night? Why do they do everything so secretively? Duh. Gee, I wonder why. Because they're despots. Because they got a lot to hide. And if you got a lot to hide, you do it in the middle of the night. You do it in the darkness. You do it hidden. You hide things. Deny, deny, deny. Delay, delay, delay. Like the IRS. Gee, I don't know where the emails are. Remember that? Lois Lerner from the IRS, I don't know where they went. And the head of the IRS, we don't know where they are. Well, we all laughed at him. We knew that anybody could find it by going to the server. I hope they put the head of the IRS in prison. I hope they put Lois Lerner away for 30 years and leave her and her family in sackcloth for what she did. This is a woman who's used her power to get over on anybody who politically her boss told her to get over on. This is a woman who deserves to be put in jail as a strong lesson to everybody in the Obama administration to tell them that the game is over. Yeah, right. The last hour came to a close, boys and girls, of the Savage Serial. A woman, a good Christian woman, believes in revelations in the Bible. She takes the Bible literally. And she believes that there's an Antichrist, and she thinks Obama's the Antichrist. Now, first of all, even if you believe in revelation, and if you're into the Bible, this is not who Obama is. Because the strong, charismatic leader that is promised as the Antichrist is loved by all. Obama is not loved by all. He's despised by most and loved by few, but he is posed as being loved by all by the corrupt American media. So he is not, he doesn't meet the qualifications to be the Antichrist just by the definition. And I don't want to go into the Christ-Antichrist thing because the horns and they came upon a little horn, big horn, little horn, bigger, and the eyes like the man. You know, we know what's going on. We know we have chaotic times, but they're not the end times. Yes, we have extremely chaotic times, but they're not end times. The times were much worse during World War I, incidentally. As I told you, I'm a student of history. And last night I was watching the American Heroes channel. I've watched it before, and it shows actual battle, you know, black and white of World War I. In one battle, 25,000 young British men were slaughtered in one day. The bastards with the swords behind them, the officer class, made the working class boys run into the machine guns all day long and die at the hands of the German machine gunners. 25,000 young British men were slaughtered. And then, of course, a few days later, thousands upon thousands of young, handsome German men, husbands, fathers, brothers, sons, were slaughtered for no reason by the bastards in the far distant fields, the officers sitting back there in the chateaus telling them to die for the motherland or the fatherland. This went on for years for no reason. There was no reason for World War I. No reason whatsoever, but I think it was something along the lines of 6 million men died in World War I. Most of them Europeans, by the way, killing each other, paving the way for the century that followed, paving the way for Adolf Hitler, paving the way after Adolf Hitler for the rise of Islam, first of communism, then of Islam, because the flower of the European was destroyed by the European in a appointedly absurd war called World War I. And as you well know, the idiots at the League of Nations imposed draconian penalties upon Germany. They blame them for World War I, which is not nonsense. And they put reparations onto Germany. They broke the economy. They humiliated Germany. And as a result, the people were dying for a strong leader who could bring them hope and security in this time of humiliation, fear, and apprehension. And who did they seek? A strong, charismatic, authoritative leader who offered to pull Germany back from the very brink of disaster. They were in disaster. And that, of course, that vacuum that was created by the League of Nations, the do-gooders, the equivalent of the United Nations of today. So they created Hitler. And I don't have to tell you how that worked out for the world. And so here we are today. Now we have a powerful, charismatic leader spouting peace and unity in America, a liar through and through. Everything that comes out of his mouth is riddled with lies. Nothing he says is nearly the truth. I mean, we're used to politicians being liars, but we've never seen anyone as rhetorically skillful as Barack Obama. Never. We have never seen a better liar in the history of the presidency. There's virtually nothing he says that approximates the truth. Now, I mean, I don't expect the president to be a fountain of truth, but to be a fountain of lies is another story. And if you look back at the history of sophistry, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. It's not hard to do. Just look at the ancient Greeks, where they had whole schools teaching young men of a certain class the whole methodology of sophistry. And Obama is a classic sophist. If you look up the history of the Greeks, it's easy to do. You know, the dead white males who gave us all of Western civilization. You'll see what I'm talking about. But it's an interesting story because Greeks are a big part of Western civilization. Of course, today you laugh at Greece. You say, they're a basket case. But that doesn't negate the history of Greece. And that doesn't negate the civilization that Greece gave the entire world and how they brought us from a condition of barbaric warfare to this new era in the Mediterranean. But that's a little off the beaten path here. I don't want to go into history. I don't want to talk about Cyrus, Babylon, and the rich and ancient civilization of Lydia. I don't want to talk about the Greeks and Persians. I don't want to talk about the splendor of Greece. I don't want to talk about the empire of Alexander the Great. I don't want to talk about the museum and library of Alexandria that was burnt to the ground by the Muslims when they invaded Egypt. I don't want to talk about the life of Gautama Buddha. I don't want to talk about King Ashoka. I don't want to talk about Confucius and Lao Tzu. I don't want to talk about Rome. I want to talk about today. Today, and what's going on in my country today, and how a nation with such a high number of college graduates, don't you know, such an educated population we are, aren't we? Did you go to college? Oh, yes, I went to Harvard. I went to Stanford. I went to Yale. I went to Berkeley. A nation of such highly educated individuals living through a takeover of their very freedoms. The foundations of the nation itself are being rocked by a gang. Literally, it's a gang that's taken over America, certainly not an administration. Why do I say such a violent thing as that? Such an insulting thing that I say that a gang has taken over America. Well, let me listen to you, please, excuse me. Let me play for you something we played yesterday on this program, which is a shock unto itself. This should have been played over and over and over again today, where the president says in clip 27, well, listen to it yourself, and you'll hear what he says, 27.
In the short term, if Mr. McConnell, the leader of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, want to have a vote on whether what I'm doing is legal or not, they can have that vote. I will veto that vote because I'm absolutely confident that what we're doing is the right thing to do.
So this was a meeting with illegal aliens, primarily set up on MSNBC, another propaganda outlet of the government media complex. And the stooges cheered him when he said, I'm bigger than the Constitution. I'm bigger than the law itself. I am the law. Listen to what, I mean, don't play it again. I don't think you understand the importance of that, because the way I pose this statement that he just made is that Obama has nakedly declared himself a dictator and nobody is bigger than him and nobody can override him. Now, that's anathema to the United States of America. That's exactly what the U.S. Revolution, the American Revolution, was fought over, was to make sure that we would not have a king dictating to us, was to make sure that a king would not pass laws that were only for the betterment of himself and his cronies, to make sure that there were a system of checks and balances. That is what the American Revolution was fought for. And now we wake up and we see this sophist in the White House, this dictatorial sophist in the White House, declaring himself a law unto himself, that he has basically declared one-man rule, something along the lines of a despotic nation somewhere in the third world. One-man rule is what we now have in America. Now, you can blame Boehner, you can blame McConnell, you can blame the Republicans all you want. You see, our system of government was set up under the assumption that decent men would run for office, landholders and good men who understood each other. They'd have reasonable debates on various issues to do with laws for the nation, but they assumed that anyone who ran for office would be on the side of America. They never would conceptualize that a foreigner would take over the country. They would never conceptualize that a man with beliefs opposite to those of America would ever get to the highest office. They would say it's impossible. They never perceived the day that a man who would not only hate America but want to undermine the very foundations of the nation itself could ever rise to such a high position. And that is why this boll weevil has found his way to this position. And it seems right now as though he's unstoppable, doesn't it? If I were to take a poll of all of you listening to this show, because it's a very, very, very selected audience, I certainly don't delude myself into thinking that it's a mass audience. This is not the audience that watches women with overly large behinds cavort around, doesn't look at the stuff produced by Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg on a regular basis. This is an audience that's quite different. It's a rather small audience, and of the overall radio listening audience right now somewhere in America, the number of people listening to talk radio would be in the 1 to 3% ratio right now, 1 to 3, 4%, maybe a little bit more, maybe 4.5%, 5% overall with all the talkers talking right now on national and local shows. So about 4 or 5% of America that's listening to radio would be listening to talk radio. That's to begin with. So you're a very small elite group, whether you know it or not. Don't underestimate your own power of thought. By dint of the fact that you're listening to radio for ideas, in other words, to draw your own conclusions, indicates that you're not one of the masses. You're not one of the sheeple. You are not. That's the absolute truth. I used to ask my father when I was a little boy, did he like radio or television more? I remember that was a long time ago. And he said to me, well, I like radio more because it forces you to think. I never forgot that. Radio makes you think. Television prevents you from thinking, blinds your thought. So if you're getting your news from someone who crosses her legs and licks her lips and pointedly sits sideways in a chair and never talks about the illegal aliens running over America, never overtly talks about the dangers of radical Islam, you'll understand why radio is the thinking person's medium. That's just a little side note. So that you are thinking is very important. Now, many of you tune in because you like my thoughts and you think you agree with me and you like, I speak for you, I get it. I'm the voice of the voiceless, I get it. But many of you tune in even though you hate my politics because you know that I'm like the uncle that used to exist in America who you could argue with. And what you do is you tune in to hear Michael Savage so you can make up your own mind about things. And you may come away saying, you know what, he's right. I actually agree with him, but I'll never tell anyone that because I'm afraid I'll be ostracized. You think I don't know who listens to this show? Well, you're wrong. I'll be back to tell you more about all the news, views, and reviews right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation, and really is TGIF. I don't know whether to tell you. I'm glad the week is over. I can't wait till Monday already. I'm afraid of the black hole called Saturday and Sunday. But as this goes on, there's a CPAC conference right now, which is a very small group of conservative political action committee. And it's all apparatchiks of the conservative side. None of them are bad people. Some of them are good. Some of them, one of them may be president. Hope so. But they made a mistake. They made a mistake by taking this Duck Dynasty guy to give a speech at CPAC, which only reconfirms the stereotype of conservatives. They take a nut from a television show, I never watched it, honest to God, who became some kind of folk hero to these lunatics, and they let the guy speech, which is going to undermine the entire CPAC convention. Did you hear what he said? He told the CPAC crowd, this Duck Dynasty guy, Phil Robertson, that the USA should be run only by Christians and not any others. And he said, we got too many others in the White House. He marked as receiving the Defender of the First Amendment Award, which is so ludicrous. I should have won the Defender of the First Amendment Award for being the only member of the American media banned from entering Britain, but I've long ago given up on the individuals who are on CPAC. It's a bunch of apparatchiks who hate Michael Savage because I'm not a member of any of these clubs. But nevertheless, the guy goes on with a speech that covers everything from George Washington to genital herpes. After a 20-minute introduction by the clowns who run Breitbart and Citizens United, who gave Robinson an award, he delivers a 40-minute address that derails the entire meaning of CPAC. You ready? In his speech, this lunatic argued that George Washington and James Madison are role models, and therefore CPAC attendees should not be drinking alcohol. The idiot then says that 110 million Americans have sexually transmitted diseases, calling genital herpes, and I'm quoting now, the revenge of the hippies, and noting that neither the Nazis, communists, or Islamists had any Jesus with them. That should really help bring people of other faiths into the conservative, you know, tent. Really, it should do that. Now, don't you think that's a good way to bring in members of faiths other than the fundamental Christian faith into the conservative tent? I mean, this really set the conservative movement forward. Is it anyone that Obama's laughing at them? They look like a bunch of right-wing cranks by inviting this schmuck to give a speech like this. Now, who is running this event? I don't know. I don't even go to them. I have no idea why anybody would want to go to these things. This is kind of like the Shriners to me. You throw couches out of windows and run around with prostitutes. I don't know. You know, I don't go to these things. I'm not one of these organization types. I went to one of these political events once when I was young. I saw wide-eyed lunatics running around. Men, women, hats with American flags. I thought I was in some nightmare. It wouldn't end. That's who goes to these things. And then they invite this Duck Dynasty idiot. And he says we should all be Christians in government. That really helped it broaden the tent, didn't it?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
It's like when I first ate pizza. That's what that song is from. Welcome to the program. I'll never forget the first time I ate pizza, by the way, in the midst of all this talk. You know, certain songs bring back memories. I was a kid, who knows, 9, 10. I was in my relative's house somewhere in Pennsylvania. And I was sleeping up in the attic with one of my cousins. That's where they put us because the house, I used to like it. All the relatives would come out for the Thanksgiving. My father wouldn't come. He had to work. So we'd go out by train. I remember going to Penn Station as a kid. My mother would come to school. I couldn't focus all day long. My heart was pounding because I knew she'd come and take me out at noon that day on that Wednesday before Thanksgiving to get to Penn Station in time to get over to Pennsylvania and pick up the Lehigh Railroad train. With the smoke chewing its way through the underneath the river over into Pennsylvania, and the white bread ham sandwiches on the train, and the porters in the white jackets, and the little coloring books, and the other little coloring books and joke books that I would read on the way, and then the relatives would be on the train station, and the train would get there puffing such billows of smoke you couldn't see 2 feet in front of you, and I would be afraid that the relatives weren't going to be there and would be stranded in a strange state, which was like being in a strange nation at that time. And then out of the smoke would appear my uncle and my cousins, and there would be great joy and cheerfulness. And so we'd get together, and we'd come together, and we'd get together, we'd come together, we'd eat this, we'd eat that, and go to the house. And that night up in the attic, as I say, one night I smelled something that smelled like fresh vomit. I thought someone got sick in the kitchen. So in my little pajamas, I tiptoed down the steps of that little old house. I came into the kitchen, and in a very primitive-looking cardboard box, there was something really weird smelling. It smelled awful. I didn't know what it was. I never heard of it. I don't know what year this must have been. God, this must have been really a long time ago. I think pizza was rather new to America. And they all were oohing and aahing looking at it. And a little boy, Michael, said, "Well, whoa, what's that?" And they said, "Why, that's a pizza pie." I said, "I don't want any of that. It smells like vomit." That was the first time I smelled mozzarella cheese. I don't know why I brought that up. I have no idea why. It's memories of things past. It's a little bit of that, you know. Who wrote that? Memories of things past where the petite Madeleine provoked thoughts of his childhood. Just a little nice memory to get me away from the war against the West, the war against the Christians, the war against women. The war against children, the war against religious minorities, the war against Israel, the war against Netanyahu being conducted by you-know-who. That's right. You have Iraqi Christians who are being decimated in a genocide not seen since Hitler's time. And this rhetorician in the White House looks the other way and attacks white policemen. That's right. You have a Christian community in Iraq with roots going back thousands and thousands of years. And their churches are being burned. They're being imprisoned and killed. The vermin called the Islamofascists are seen with sledgehammers, breaking down monuments that have been there for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And the degenerates in the UN do nothing. They say nothing. 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 I don't understand how the world goes on with such corruption in this country and such corruption in the UN. They're watching a genocide occur right in front of their eyes. A genocide against Christians and not a peep from Hollywood. Why is it that Jeffrey, shall I read the names again? Do I have to say it every time I say Hollywood? Do I have to do do I have to do Hattenberg, Mattenberg, Hatzenberg, and Patzenberg? Why do they not raise their voices in defense of Christians? It's a holocaust. There is a holocaust going on against Christians and religious minorities and will occur against the Jews of Israel unless the world stands up to what the Islamofascists are doing. We're not getting that support from the Prez or from the Secretary of State, are we? Why, they won't even mention Islamofascism. They won't even say Islamo. They won't even say the word Muslim. They won't. Just some folks in a deli. To Obama, it's just some folks in the deli. They weren't even Jewish. They lost their ethnic use because they couldn't vote for him since they're dead already. And, of course, they weren't American. They were just some folks in a deli. You see the picture, don't you? The Assyrians are being annihilated. They're being wiped off the planet. Christian groups. And this president does virtually nothing to arm them or to train them. Instead, he sends weapons and training to Muslims in Syria. Can you believe this country? I mean, what's going on in this country? You'd think there'd be a voice occasionally speaking out. You'd think you hear someone in the military saying something. For that matter, you'd hear somebody maybe at CPAC raising the issue of the genocide being conducted upon the Christians in the Middle East. Have any of the good people in the Conservative Political Action Committee said one word about the genocide occurring in the Middle East? Perhaps they have. I don't know. Doubt it. Dwindling Christian community forgotten by the world. Would you believe that in your lifetime another Holocaust would be occurring and there'd be no outcry? Would you, all you good liberals on the upper west side and east side of Manhattan, who say nothing because, well, you're not a Christian. I mean, when they came for the Christians in the Middle East, you didn't raise your voice because you weren't a Christian. See how that works? Remember how that worked back in Cardinal Niemöller's day in Germany? You know that old Cardinal Niemöller story, don't you? All you very brave men and women of the Manhattanite tribe who said that if those Germans ever come back and they conduct all the Holocaust, I'll put myself on the front lines. We shall march and we shall overcome. Well, there's another Holocaust going on right now, Mr. and Mrs. New York, and you're doing nothing about it. Zero. Coptic Christians are having their heads chopped off, and you said nothing because you're not a Coptic Christian, are you? So when they came for the Assyrian Christians, yeah, you didn't raise your voice because you're not an Assyrian Christian. You looked the other way, and you threw money at the ACLU. Well, then when they came for the Coptic Christians, you didn't raise your voice because who ever heard of them anyway? I never met a Coptic Christian, and you threw more money at the Democrat National Committee, didn't you, Mr. and Mrs. New York City? And then when they came for this one and that one, you didn't raise your voice. You just gave more money to the radical leftist groups that have annihilated this nation's conscience, didn't you? And you know how that ends, don't you? Cardinal Niemöller said. When they came for the communists, I did not raise my voice because I was not a communist. When they came for the trade unionists, I did not raise my voice because I was not a trade unionist. When they came for the Jews, I did not raise my voice because I was not a Jew. And when they came for me, there was no one left to speak out against it. And he was put into one of the concentration camps by Nazi Germany. I guess that's history, isn't it? And you're saying history is not repeating itself. And don't you worry. If it gets that bad here, don't you worry. I'll do something. But until I do, I'll make sure that the right wing is suppressed in America. I'll make sure that those right wingers, those Nazis, those Tea Partyites, the ones who don't like Woody Allen's atheistic, communistic, anti-family, anti-Christian movies, I'll make sure that those right wingers get put down like the mad dogs they are. As she marches off to a Joan Rivers costume accoutrement society or whatever. Don't think I don't have contempt for these people. You think I don't know who they are, what they are, and why the country is dying? They throw money at Obama while he does the madness that he does on a daily basis. Okay, I don't want to go down that road again. I'll save my vitriol for my dog. Not to hurt him. He'll just hear me moaning in the middle of the night as I think about the death of America. That's all. Yes, indeed. 400,000 left in the Middle East. That's all. There were millions of Christians. Iraq's Christian population numbered 1.5 million in 2004. As a result of Obama's looking the other way and the ISIS blitzkrieg, there are now less than 400,000 Christians. 1.1 million have either been killed or have fled, and they will never return. And how many of them are being led into the United States? Has Obama opened the doors to these refugees? No. No, he's reserving those places for Muslims from Syria. Doesn't that make sense to bring in Muslims from Syria, since we all know all of them love America so much? You wouldn't want to bring in Iraqi Christians who are fleeing for their lives, would you? Well, they're liable to increase the Christian community in America. You can't have that if you're not a Christian in the White House. So what you do is you bring, well, you know how it works, birds of a feather, that type of thing. You bring in people that you're more comfortable with, your co-religionists. It's what you get. What you pay for is what you get. You pay for what you get, and what you got is what you paid for. But you don't know it, because after all, he's not a right-winger. First of all, he doesn't speak German. Secondly, he doesn't scream and yell. He's a nice, quiet man. And thirdly, he's against those right-wingers, so he must be good. Because the enemy of my enemy is my friend, therefore Obama's your friend no matter what he does. Isn't that how you think? Isn't that sort of how you kind of use your mind, rather, not thinking? Yeah, don't confuse me with the facts my mind is made up. I can talk to you till I'm blue in the face about the Vostok ice core samples. I can give you a list of about 1,000 long of real scientists who show that global warming is not man-made. On, and you'll say, you know what, I don't believe a word of it. It was all made up by the oil companies. That's a mark of your great college education. That's a mark of the brainwashing of the American middle class here. It's astounding. And if they can brainwash you into believing what is factually debatable, if not overtly untrue, why, what else can they possibly do to your brains? You never know when you have Harvey, Katzenberg, and Ratzenberg, and Weinstein in your corner. Why, you can do almost anything, because they're the ones who make the images. And he who makes the images makes the mind. And the inchworms keep inching along. I haven't taken many calls, have I? Let's take one right now. Line number 8. 888888. You're on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Hello, Michael. I loved your caller at the bottom of the first half hour, that Christian. She was right on the money. It doesn't mean that she's a Christian fundamentalist. It just means that she is inspired by the Word of God, as I believe myself and you are also, because these are the times we're living in. But in your book, Stop the Coming Civil War, are you there, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. In your book, Stop the Coming Civil War, they're not depending on Christian or patriots or militias in the United States to rise up against them. They, as you said and suggested, with the 300,000 Muslims brought into this country since 2010, they're arranging it. They're arranging something to happen that they're going to blame on not Islam. They're going to blame it on Christian fundamentalists returning to Iraq.
Yes, I know how the Southern Poverty Law Center and the other criminal operatives work in this country. They hate Christians. They hate conservatives. I get it. They hate the flag. They hate the church. I get it. I know who the communists are. I know what they want.
Right. But,
you know, for us to keep talking about it from that point of view only marginalizes us. Sorry. Let's take another caller now. Let's go to line number 666. I said 666. You're on the Savage Nation. Line 6.
Yeah. Kirk from WKAR, Haslett, Michigan. And I think it's pretty obvious that Barack Obama has a deep-seated belief in white privilege. And I think that goes along with Islamic and with the Jews, where he don't support the Jews, so on and so forth.
You mean he buys hook, line, and sinker the big lie about white privilege being taught by the anti-male, anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-church vermin in our colleges?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, that's what they teach. They brainwash our children about white privilege. And they tell white children they should be ashamed for being white. That's what you're getting for your $40,000 a year. To have your child come out a wreck, a physical and emotional wreck, from the brainwashing, from the radical feminists who have taken over the universities. That's right. You heard me. Shall I repeat it? Write it down. Send it on to Media Matters, courtesy of Michael Savage. I'll give you the 22-cent stamp or whatever it costs today. You need some Burger King grease? I'll put that in an envelope as well so you can seal the envelope with real vigor. Okay. So here we sit on the cusp of something. We can all sense it. We sense something is in the air, don't we? Don't you sense something is in the air? Don't you think, don't you feel in your guts and your collective memories today that we're on the verge or the cusp or the verge of something very dramatic that's about to occur in the world? It's as though there's a gigantic vacuum into which there's going to be an electric light bulb that lights up the world. Does it feel like that to you? I hope that this is just lunacy. I hope that it has nothing to do with reality. But when I see Christians being driven out of the Middle East and the liberals in America don't raise their voices, when I see a president who stands up and says, go ahead, make my day, whatever you vote on, I'll veto it, and you can go to hell. When I see a presidency unwilling to define the enemy as the enemy, and I can go down the list, I feel that we're sitting on the verge or the cusp of something very, very big. And again, I don't want to be an alarmist, but I hope I'm only being an alarmist when I refer you again to the interview that I gave on this show, I read actually from February 17th, where February 28th, which is tomorrow, I read the ISIS warning that it will be an international day of blood and that we will see blood running in the streets of America. I say to you, I pray to God, this is simply alarmism. That's all I can say. I'll be right back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is 56 minutes after the hour. And I'm on my website now, michaelsavage.com, which I do invite you to visit, obviously, for obvious reasons. But you get a free newsletter if you want them, which is the punchy side of each show three times a week. Comes into your email address, doesn't cost anything, and it's there. And I work around the clock. Late at night, I'm looking for articles and art posts them with some great pictures. We got a great one up now of Liar in Chief, a great cartoon. It shows the rhetorician in chief. Up there spewing his lies. You think we're the only ones to see it? Then there's Jihadi Jean's sister made a film about the hooded knife-wielding maniac. And here's the thing. Here's the rub. The British intelligence services, so to speak, if there are any, had him as a person of interest for years. And they let this psychopath in and out of the country. Why? Because he was a Muslim. And they didn't want to be accused of being anti-Muslim. Instead, the British government banned only one American in talk radio, a man reviled by the members of a certain cult and a certain sorority of talk show hosts.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is hour number three of the Savage Nation, cruising into the weekend. I see that Al Sharpton is meeting with the president in the White House. That is, now, do you think that the presidency has been elevated by bringing this street hustler into the White House this many times, including today? Or has the White House been dragged down into the gutter? Don't call me. I know the answer. But, you know, this is nothing new. having Al Sharpton in the White House, the equivalent of having Pat Robertson of Duck Dynasty at the CPAC conference. I mean, bigotry is bigotry. When you have Robertson at the CPAC rambling on and saying only Christians should be in Congress, tells you that CPAC is now an irrelevant organization. Anybody who speaks there should have their head examined. Now, I mean, think about that. Why would you want to appear at a conference, which is putatively the launching pad for the next president of the United States, and invite someone like Duck Dynasty, who gives a speech, a rambling speech, saying that only Christians should be in Congress? Is that going to help the conservative brand or continue to marginalize it? I don't have to answer that one either. I know the answer, an obvious answer. I don't know who runs these events. I've never been attracted to these kind of party apparatchik meetings. I don't get excited by the drinks and the backslapping. I don't do these things. I don't do them at all. And I don't know why anybody would. I think it's actually an embarrassment. Now, there are those who like these things, and they go to them. They think that it makes them somehow bigger. They aggrandize themselves by going there. But if you want to associate with a guy who says that only Christians should be in Congress and then come back and make believe that you're a conservative, go ahead. Be my guest. Make my day. That's not an, I don't think you should call me on that. I'm not that interested in the topic. Just a side note, that's all. We're in hour number three. Most of the country is listening. Most people don't even know what CPAC is. They could care less. So what's the big news? Let's see the Fox News site. Onward Christian soldiers. U.S. filmmaker trains faithful to fight ISIS. In Iraq, just north of ISIS-controlled Mosul, U.S. filmmaker and self-styled revolutionary Matthew Van Dyke is running a boot camp for Christians willing to fight against the murderous Islamic terror group. I'd like to know how to send money to that group. I wish I knew how to send money to the poor Christians in the Middle East, because I know our government would rather give money to the other side and weapons to the other side. Knives are out. Dem under fire for taking on Obama over radical Islam. Really? Oh, she's an Iraq war veteran, a Democrat from Florida, and she has the nerve to attack the liar-in-chief? Well, what does she know about war? He knows more than her. Let's see. For crying out loud, America, Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson Steele show at CPAC. Good, that's the end of the conservative movement. For him to get up there and say that only Christians should be in Congress. Or, I don't know what he said. Who knows? I read the whole thing. It's frightening. And they cheered him. It means the end of the Conservative Political Action Committee. Why would they invite such a schmuck like him to this? I don't understand this country. Where are we supposed to turn, the rest of us who know everything is wrong? Are we supposed to turn to the CPAC or group? This little guild? This little small guild of shoemakers? They're like the Shoemakers Guild in Bavaria. CPAC. I mean, that's how small it really is. They get the rubber chicken, they slap each other on the back, they take each other's phone numbers and emails down. Oh, yeah, yeah, be in touch. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's frightening. It's like a conservative, it's like a fraternity. Robertson received the Andrew Breitbart Defender of the First Amendment Award for doing what? For being a star about duck whistles? Yeah, that really is, hey, that's really telling about the Schmendricks who run these things. And what did he say? I got to find exactly what he's crazy. Pulled out the Bible and read a passage from it. Said only Christians should be in the government. What am I going to do? Ask you how you feel about that? Does that not put a knife into? I mean, put a fork into the Conservative Political Action Committee. It's toast. I'll tell you right now. If I had been invited, which I wouldn't have gone anyway, because like Groucho Marx said. I would never join a club that would have me as a member. But I don't do such things. I don't travel. First of all, I don't travel anywhere. And to prove that I'm telling you the truth, that it's not sour grapes, I could give a speech every weekend, make a good buck on the speeches. I don't do them. I'm not hungry for the money. Most of the people in the conservative business or so-called conservative business do fly around, do the speeches. They're just money-grubbing hacks. That's all. What do they need the money for? Hey, Obama no good. Obama communist. You throw the money at him. They fly out. O'Reilly does that, doesn't he? Every weekend, another speech. Him and Dennis Miller. Dennis Miller's an actual nice guy. He's retiring from radio, I read this morning. Did you see that, Robert? Why? What, his show died? Yeah, wants to do other things, right? He can spend more time with his family. Right. That's the standard line. You spend more time with the family. Whenever you read, oh, yeah, he's retiring from talk radio to spend more time with the family. Sure. 855-400. Rubio was there, too. Another genius. What a ticket they're going to put together. Maybe they could put together Duck Dynasty and Marco Rubio to run against Hillary Clinton. That'd be a winning ticket. How could anyone cheer Marco Rubio? The man has no charisma. I mean, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Zero. What, because his name ends in a vowel? He ought to run a pizza parlor. Should be like Rubio's Tacos or something. What qualifies Rubio to be the president? Can anyone explain to me why he would be picked to be the president? Why? It's unbelievable to me. Perry was there. Who is Perry? He's not running. He's not going to win. Said he was there to speak plainly about the times we live in. That's very exciting. Robertson was there with the bandana and the duck whistle. Then Trump was there. Trump. Trump went there to attack Jeb Bush. Let's see, well, battle over funding amnesty. Putin critics shocked dead at Kremlin. Did you see that? That you know who did that. The guy who was going to run against Putin was shot dead in the street while speaking. That's all. Not good. Not good. Not good. Hasn't happened here yet, has it? Putin critics shot dead at Kremlin. In the street, dead. Over. See, Russia's a little different than America. It may have looked like they were becoming westernized. The tight jeans, the STDs. I did an analysis that the higher the rate of STDs, the higher the rate of democracy. And the lower the rate of STDs, the more fascistic the government. Isn't that funny? How does that work? Am I wrong in that analysis? The higher the STD quotient in a nation, the higher the rate of democracy. And the lower the rate of STDs, the less democracy there is. How does that work? So that by that analysis, if it's correct, North Korea would have no STDs whatsoever. I don't know. I haven't done the study, but I would like to look at that. Maybe I've stumbled onto another PhD thesis here. Who knows? Does anyone know what the STD rate is in North Korea? Or what is the STD rate, let's say, in Iran? I think it's high. There's a lot of prostitution in Iran. Because the more they talk about Islam, they're broke over there. They have no money. Well, they're getting a lot now because Obama's lifting the sanctions. So Iran's doing good now. So the opposition party will be shot in the streets soon in order to make the world safe for Islam, radical Islam. Poor Netanyahu's coming next week. My God, I have to be on the radio for that. I have to be here for that day. I hope he doesn't back out. I hope that the racists who have attacked Netanyahu don't drive him away. And I include Jews in that list. You know what's galling? You want to hear what's really galling me today? I've said it to the few friends I talked to. Isn't it amazing how the Jews who pretended they supported Netanyahu as near as 3 weeks ago in Congress, Boxer, Feinstein, the others, turned on Netanyahu with long knives the minute their boss Tweed, told him he didn't like Netanyahu, didn't want him here? Isn't it amazing to see what these dirty yentas did? These dirty yentas who 4 weeks ago were pretending to be friends of Israel, they were raking in the gelt. Are you kidding me? The minute boss Tweed told him to turn on Netanyahu, those yentas turned on Netanyahu. It's shocking. Shocking, a politician. Like, I had faith in Boxer and Feinstein. But they're not alone. Where's Schumer? Is he going to be there? Or Big Shoe isn't going to be there either? I can't imagine Big Shoe, which has a large Jewish constituency in New York. You think Big Shoe is going to boycott Netanyahu? Is there any list of which of the big mouths are going to be there or not be there? I think that's Wednesday. I'm flying on Sunday somewhere to a hidden location. I'll be on another location all week, God willing. But I intend to be on the radio anyway. Oh, yeah. Sun and surf. My cup of tea. You know how much I love the heat. I've talked about it over the years. Oh, I love the heat. I love humidity. I love mosquitoes. I can't wait. No, there's no mosquitoes this time of year. None. And the humidity hasn't really hit yet. So I'm looking to go get away from the allergies. I can't stand it. I can't take another minute of this. The tree pollen's awful. These yellow trees there, the acacia, they're a nightmare. A curse on the planet. The acacia is to the tree world what the skunk is to the world of mammals. There is no reason the acacia was ever created by why did evolution permit the acacia to exist? I don't understand it. It's like the skunk. Why did God permit the skunk to exist? Does anyone know why there were certain animals that shouldn't have been allowed to exist? A skunk would be one of them. A pit bull should be another one. How many people do I meet in the street with killer, vicious, foaming pit bulls that are meant to instill the fear of death in you? Oh, don't worry, he's a sweetheart. You hear this? With a metal chain almost yanking their arm off. Oh, he won't hurt you. He's a puppy. He's a sweetheart. Yeah. It's like the feminists on the hiking trails all over America with killer dogs. All you're doing is walking or pushing your bicycle. They come right up to your crotch, the dogs. And the feminist says to the bad words I use, like, that should be the worst word I ever use. Well, that's not a bad opening to the third hour. It's sort of all over the map. I wanted to entertain you because it is the weekend and we have nothing to look forward to now that I'll be off the air till Monday. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. Turn it off. It's going to put me to sleep. I'm not in the mood for dance music. I'm not into bump and grind. I'm not into the whole nostalgia. So here are the names of those in the Senate who are the most extremist, who are not going to attend Netanyahu's speech. They go into the Hall of Shame. But you'd expect it from Patrick Leahy. Leaky Leahy's always hated America, always been a slimy creature. Bernie Sanders, the only known socialist member of Congress, Jewish by origin in Brooklyn. He's not going to attend because his boss Tweed, told him to boycott it. Brian Schatz is not attending. Never heard of him. Tim Kaine, never heard of him. But in the House, 30 members won't attend Netanyahu's speech, mainly the Congressional Black Caucus, which is kind of ironic when you think that it was the Jewish people who helped the black people the most. Isn't that kind of ironic how that works? I'm not allowed to remember that, am I? Is that illegal, what I just said? Does that pass the new FCC rules? I don't know. Is that offensive to anybody? Isn't it interesting that the entire Congressional Black Caucus, most of whom were helped in their early careers by Jewish liberals, have now decided to turn their backs on Israel and Netanyahu? Now, that may violate the new FCC rules. I haven't read the booklet yet that they're still putting together behind closed doors, laughing at America as they steal our First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, Seventh Amendment, Eighth Amendment, more. Actually, I went through all the amendments that they've trampled on in small and big ways. You'd be surprised. It starts to add up. Inch by inch, the liar-in-chief has taken over and attacked one amendment of the Bill of Rights after another. You don't know that. Well, what's an amendment? He figured, what the heck, what, a bunch of old white men wrote amendments on free speech? Who the heck do they think they are? I don't need an amendment. I got a pen. I'll write a whole bill. I don't need an amendment. What an amendment? What do you mean, First Amendment? Them crackers hang on to those amendments like they're golden. What's an amendment that you don't need? I'm the law. When I'm the law, I write my own bill. I don't need an amendment. Amendment, schmendment. I'm Barack Obama. Joe Biden is a shame unto himself. Just the name Biden is now a noun for a shameful individual. Like Quisling became associated with the word traitor or treasonous. You know, he was a politician, Norway, Nazis took over. He did the bidding of the Nazis. So the word Quisling, meaning his name, became a synonym for a Quisling. If you're a Quisling, it means you're a traitor, right? Don't be a Quisling. Quisling was actually a man's name. So the noun, you know, person, place, or thing. Right, person, place, a thing became something else. Biden, whose name, Biden, was a man's name, is now something else. Don't be a Biden. I think it would be something like a backstabbing fool. That's what it'd be, something along those lines. So he's going to be out of the country. You hear this? He won't be here. He won't be attending. Who does he think he's fooling? The next day he's going to go to dinner with the Jewish donors. Oh, yeah, well, it was really destructive for Netanyahu to come here and try to save his people because Boss Tweed told me he's an all-around bad sort. We need some good liberals there running Israel so they can cave in to the Palestinians and wind up with no country whatsoever, because the only good Jew is a liberal Jew, or something along those lines. But at the risk of your displeasure, I will move on to something else, and that would be the sound bites. Which is the Gestapo, no, I can't say that. That's not right. That get people mad. The President of the United States, the head of the United States of America, gave a speech that was so chilling yesterday on the members of ICE, you know, immigration enforcement people, Border Patrol, threatening them that unless they follow orders to break the law, listen to clip 28. You got to hear this.
The bottom line is that if somebody's working for ICE and there is a policy and they don't follow the policy, there are going to be consequences to it. So I can't speak to a specific problem. What I can talk about is what's true in the government generally. In the U.S. military, when you get an order, you're expected to follow it. Doesn't mean that everybody follows the order. If they don't, they've got a problem.
You need the Horst Wessel song after that. Sort of goes with it. It's got a nice beat to it. And if you could dig it up. You know, most people don't even know what the Horst Wessel song is. I played it and no one knew what it was yesterday. Shows you how people have disconnected from history. It's like Apocalypse Now. Maybe that would be Barack Obama's best movie yet, Apocalypse Now. Maybe they could, you know, rewrite the movie with him as the hero, taking us down the river into a place from which we never return. Don't you think? Are you enjoying this show, or am I talking to myself here in a room? What's going on out there? Is anyone listening to this show?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
The press corps always says, no, he's a Christian, and he always says, I'm a Christian, and he definitively says, I'm a Christian. Now, it shouldn't really matter, because if he's a Muslim, he should say so, because if he's a Muslim along the lines of the Jordanians fighting ISIS, I'd like to know it. But he always denies that he's a Muslim, which is okay. He's entitled to any religion he wants, or to be an atheist. But when Eric Holder says everyone should read Malcolm X's autobiography, you have to pay attention, because he's the chief law enforcement official in the United States of America who is wreaking havoc against white police for years now. Now, he was thrown out of office, and he's retiring. He's leaving. They're going to replace him with someone worse than him, someone who has the same black radical agenda, the same anti-white agenda, the same hatred for America agenda that we've lived with now for years. Now, you say, hey, slow down. Slow down. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by statements like that? Well, in his parting shot, Eric Holder, the most controversial attorney general in American history, who said that it's too hard to bring civil rights cases, they need to change the law to make it easier to basically arrest white policemen. He was unhappy that the federal government couldn't crack down on cops who did nothing wrong. So in order to complete the communist revolution, you have to disarm the police. If you can't disarm them in actuality, you disarm them in the courts. You make them hesitate. You teach them to breathe deeply in a confrontation so the criminal gets the upper hand. But it's worse than that. When he was asked by the stooges at Politico, which is an arm of the Democrat, socialist, Islamist machine, this is what he had to say about Malcolm X in clip number one.
I say this not to every African-American of his age, but for every American, that you read the autobiography of Malcolm X. To see the transition that man went through from petty criminal to a person who was severely and negatively afflicted by race to somebody who ultimately saw the humanity in all of us. And that would be a book I would recommend to everybody.
So Mr. Who obviously was way, 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 way below this pay scale, never qualified to be attorney general. This guy shouldn't be writing traffic tickets, but he was the top law enforcement official in America and still is. And his parting shot is recommending that everybody read the autobiography of Malcolm X. So who is Malcolm X? Why should anyone read Malcolm X? Well, first of all, let's start with who he was. Let's forget his criminal past, because that's nothing anymore. Most of the people who work for Obama have a criminal past. Look at Al Sharpton. He has a criminal past, doesn't he? He's in the White House right now, probably dining on some very superior meal. That's fine. That's what happens after a revolution. But Malcolm X was the head of the Nation of Islam. He was a black revolutionary, and he was a Muslim, black Muslim revolutionary. Now, why would the Attorney General of the United States refer to a black Muslim revolutionary as one of the role models for America? I'll let you figure the rest of that one out. Eric Holder has been wreaking havoc against white police in America for years now. And his parting shot going out the door with the stooges at Politico is everyone should read Malcolm X's autobiography. Malcolm X was a black Muslim. He was the head of the Nation of Islam, if I'm not mistaken. So what does he say about Islam? What does he say about that? Well, he said some nice things about people, Malcolm X. Some of them are just bland, nice, be nice to everybody. And then some of these things he said were not very nice. And you have to pay attention to those things that he said about Islam. You could research it yourself if you want to waste your time. You can pretty much know that it's filled with rhetoric that is quite angry, number one, and in my opinion, quite racist towards white people. But some of Malcolm X's quotes are worth looking at. It sounds as though he's a peaceful man, but was he really a peaceful man? I think that it depends upon how you define peace. Because he said, I don't think when a man is being criminally treated that some criminal has the right to tell that man what tactics to use to get the criminal off his back. So in other words, if you define the police as criminal, then you can attack the police. So that's the rhetoric of Malcolm X. That's the rhetoric of Eric Holder. That's the mindset. The mindset of Eric Holder. Is that not what he just did in Ferguson, Missouri? Is that not what he did? He tried to nail the police to a cross and he couldn't do it. And he goes out saying, God, it's too hard to bring civil rights cases. We got to fix that. You know, so you got to pay attention here, very close attention to the situation, because things are going to get much, much worse before they get better. I can guarantee you that the Frankenstein in the White House, since he's getting away with virtually everything he wants without opposition. I've warned you this for years, and that's why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. I mean, I think he's trying to push us into an insurrection. I warn you against that. Do not fall into the trap. Don't be one of those lunatics who goes off and does something violent. Do not fall into the trap. I'm warning you. This is what these individuals in the administration would like nothing better. They want you to do something so violent that the person in the middle says, you see that? We need the president to protect us from these right-wing crazies. Don't fall for it. I'm warning you. They're pushing you. They want you to act. They want you to react. They're trying every day and every way to do anything they can to have you blow up. Don't do it. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. So we have a very dangerous man in the White House who's out of control. His ego is raging. If you can believe it, he's meeting with the criminal Al Sharpton again today. A man who owes the U.S. government millions of dollars in unpaid taxes. A man who smeared a New York detective by the name of Pagonis with false charges of racism and rape. Got away with it. A man who egged on the mobs outside the Freddy's Fashion Mart with a bullhorn screaming, kill the Jew. This is the man who's in the White House. It's unbelievable that in my lifetime I would see a lowlife like this in such high places. But then again, who says the White House is such a high place? Obama has debased the White House. He's dragged it down to the street level. If he's going to associate with a race hustler like Al Sharpton, what does that tell you? Don't you see an animus in Obama, a hatred? A hatred, a vengeance in the man? A vengeance that is unheard of in the office of the presidency towards a large percentage of the population simply based upon their race? Doesn't that yet come clear to you that all of this man's mania for control, takeover of telecommunications, I don't have to go down the list because everything he has done and everything he's going to do is about control and taking over the government piece by piece, step by step. Now, if you combine that with the dangerous connection to the Nation of Islam, if there is one, and I'm not so sure there is or isn't, I'm only saying that because Eric Holder said everyone should read Malcolm X's autobiography. It set off alarm bells in me. So I looked into Malcolm X. I wasn't that familiar with him. He was quite a revolutionary. He was in solidarity with the people of Cuba, for example. He liked the Cuban Revolution by Fidel Castro. He thought that was a good thing. The country has been invaded, taken over by a radical communist government, which it has, in my opinion, because I don't see how a communist government could have done any more damage than this guy and these people have done so far. In other words, this country's armed to the teeth. The only thing that keeps them from turning us into total and absolute serfs is the Second Amendment. You know that and I know that. They're afraid of that. They're afraid of that right now. But the thing is that given that this nation's more armed to the teeth than any nation on earth, that has not descended into, let's say, anarchy or civil war, is the reason they haven't gone any farther than they've gone is because the people are armed to the teeth. They don't want a shooting revolution. They've gotten so far without it. They've gotten almost everything they've wanted to achieve without it. They don't need violence, do they? Do they need violence when they have such a slick salesman in the White House? He is the slickest salesman for communism you've ever seen in the world. He could never have gotten away with this if he was Joseph Stalin or any of the other commies, Pol Pot, violence, overt violence. He's a stealth communist, a stealth revolutionary. Stealth, the key word is stealth. You can call him a Murano violent, Murano type. He's doing everything in the cloven way. We've talked about it, the cloven hoofed way, actually, not cloven Pritchard, but I would say the cloven hoofed way, but that would be too much of a joke for the average person. They would say I'm being too sarcastic. I use my own knowledge of America and American history and history of the world and my own ability to analyze to come up with my own conclusions. And I feel that as an immigrant son who was reasonably well-read, that's an understatement. How do you define well-read today? Was that they're on Instagram? That's a well-read person? What is a well-read person? That used to be a something of status in America, a well-read person. Today, what does that mean? They laugh at you if you have a library. February 28th, that's tomorrow. February 28th, ISIS warning goes out. International Day of Blood will see blood running in the streets of America. A website called All News Pipeline, the author being Stefan Stanford, wrote this today. And here's the article, though. It's one paragraph. You have the attention for it? With the Islamic State conducting a blitzkrieg virtually unopposed, Michael Savage warns us of the date of February 28, 2015, in the second video below, where he reads to us an email from a former high-ranking U.S. military insider of what is being called an International Day of Blood, telling us that there will be blood running in the streets and that things are about to get very ugly around the world and here in America, that there was a warning given to Fox News to increase protection recently. We're told it's going to get much more interesting very shortly. They are getting closer and closer to fulfilling their strategic objectives here in America. It's amazing to watch this unfold. Who would believe we would ever be here? I'm afraid this war is not going to end without a massive amount of killing, far more than most Americans would like to believe. Finally, the article reads, Savage declares the most important line. The entire enemy strategy, that's ISIS, depends on us accepting them as who they say they are. You hear this? And I want to say at this juncture, I thought very carefully as to whether or not I should read this to you today, because I could be accused of being an alarmist. And I hope I'm an alarmist. I actually hope nothing happens tomorrow. But I would be remiss, as the Paul Revere of America, to not read this to you. Because just 2 weeks ago, the head of the FBI told us that there are sleeper cells in 49 of the 50 states, which was completely hushed up by Obama, Holder, Kerry, et al. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Savage Nation this Friday, and people go on to regular lives. We do have breaking news. Four measles cases linked to Las Vegas restaurant, health officials say. Four cases of measles have been linked to a restaurant at the MGM Grand in Vegas. But listen, there's more to the story. A patron and two staff members of Emerald's New Orleans Fish House probably contracted measles from a contagious staff member, the so-called health agency said Friday. Contagious staff member. Now, as you know, measles was eradicated in America, in the United States in about the year 2000. Eradicated. But that's all changed under Obama with diversity? Yeah, diversity is wonderful. No screening, no nothing. Bring them all in. That's all. Contagious. One of our team members was potentially contagious, said the steakhouse, while working shifts. Beginning at 4 p.m. on Wednesday, the affected employee. So there it is. That's all. That's the new America. That's diverse. Get over it. You don't want a clean first world nation. That's kind of racist when you think about that. A nation that had the best public health, the best sanitation, the best schools in the world. That's part of the past. That's when you were first world racist nation. But now that you're a diverse nation, the schools are garbage, disease is rampant, crime is wild in the streets, which is the third world way. That's called fairness. That's called diversity. Now, if you don't think this way, it's probably because maybe you've been inoculated to white guilt. Or maybe you went to school before the psychopaths took over the schools. And you may have to go to a re-education camp in order to contract a case of guilt, of white guilt, in order to make it a more pure America. You must have white guilt in order to make it a pure America. Let's say the Obama vision of America requires that all white people have white guilt in order to make the world safe for the third world, or at least to make America safe for the third world. And if you find any of this offensive, it's because you've not been inoculated in the proper way, or perhaps I haven't been inoculated away. The right way. I got to tell you something. I don't suffer white guilt because my grandfather was an immigrant. My father was an immigrant, not my grandfather. So I don't really suffer white guilt. I have no white guilt whatsoever. Everyone in my family worked till they dropped dead. Now, of course, that doesn't relieve me of the responsibility and burden of what happened during the Civil War. Not according to Al Sharpton and the race hustlers. We're all guilty. But don't confuse me with the facts my mind has made up, the same as global warming. Even if you show them over and over again, it's not man-made. It's occurred before. The ice core samples show that the Earth has gone through cooling and heating. They will tell you, who made that up, ExxonMobil? But I'm showing you an ice core sample from the Antarctic, 5 miles down in the core, done by an international group of scientists. No, it was done by Exxon Valdez, by the drunk captain. This is what they teach your daughter at the colleges today. So, in other words, the same brainwashing about global warming now applies to slavery, racism, reparations, putting up with criminals under the guise of fairness and diversity. See how that works? Amazing to me. Now, the measles epidemic in Las Vegas is directly tied to an employee of the restaurant. Now, you know what that means. I mean, who says that it's an immigrant? I could be jumping to conclusions. Contracted measles from a contagious staff member. That doesn't mean he was an immigrant. He may not. Could have been a member of the Dunk Dynasty staff. Dunk Dynasty. You never know. It could have been just the cracker who had the measles, brought it in from Mississippi. You never know. I'm just assuming, using common sense, that it's an illegal alien who had measles and brought it into the country because Obama has broken the border, threatened ICE, threatened the Border Patrol, threatened anyone in America who stands up to La Raza and the other gangster groups that have overrun our borders like an invading army with, well, they'll have a problem, said Obama. Well, we're all waiting to see what that means. But we have 2 big years left of Papa Doc, don't we? That's about it for the Savage Nation. Reporting live, back Monday with God's will and your listenership. Be here or be nowhere.